The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
It's like the easiest week to have a, you know, to do Watch Your Beat Wednesday we've had a long time. We don't have to manufacture anything this week. The easy one.
Yes, this is all going to be real. I mean, this is going to be a real one, not just us, you know, complaining and being whiners about something. I mean, this is going to be real. So, but we're going to do that. So, really looking forward to that. We're of course going to give you some Arkansas news and some updates as some of the players were able to catch up with the media yesterday. And also, we're going to do a little North Texas breakdown as Brett Vito, he covers North Texas. He's a beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle. So, looking forward to catching up with him because, listen, the only thing I know about North Texas, Tommy, is that they have a really good quarterback. They're able to score at will, and they're 2-0.
Well, and apparently the school color is green, and it is mean.
Yes, it is.
I don't know what shade of green on the Pantone chart it is, but it's pretty darn feisty, apparently. It's mean green. So,
is that one of the lamer mascot names? I mean, I don't want to start talking trash about Arkansas's
opponent. We don't need,
opponent.
Hey, listen, Arkansas is not, we're not even talking litter. We're not going to talk trash. We're not talking litter. We're not even talking clutter.
You're trying to talk nothing. Bulletin board material, John?
Yeah, nothing. Board material for their mascot.
Well, we're just not even going to talk table crumbs.
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I'm just wondering, you know, I got to look into the, and that's probably what we'll discuss, but I want to look into what went behind, you know, of all the mascots that were at their exposure, just decide to go with mean green.
Someone there or any other might, well, what the heck is a Razorback?
Yeah, but at least the Razorback is something. It's like it's an animal.
Well, I mean, most people may.
Very scary.
But mean green? Do you think a lot of people know that that's a species of a hog or a pig? Probably a lot of people don't. I bet the mascot for the University of Arkansas educates a lot of people on that. Would you know that that is a mascot or a species of a wild hog? Probably not. Or the story behind how Arkansas was once not the Razorbacks. Probably wouldn't know that. So I would be interested in knowing, how do you become the mean green? Yeah.
And that may be something we have to ask them about, because I just think it's really, really interesting.
Kind of like Arkansas Tech, the Wonder Boys.
Yeah.
What's the story there?
Monticello, you know? Boll Weevils.
Yeah, the Boll Weevils.
Boll Weevils.
Yeah. Something stuck. Hey, but here's the thing. With the Razorbacks,
Mule Riders down at SAU.
Yes, them too. I just assume that everyone's seen Crocodile Dundee, the movie, when they talk about Razorbacks, and so there you go. That's where they'll know. They're like, oh, okay, so if I've seen Crocodile Dundee, I must know what a Razorback is. That's the thing. So, but no, it's. I think it's fascinating, and I've got some Wikipedia stuff to give everybody an idea of what North Texas is looking like. But I think that the closer that we get to this game, though, it's just weird for me to not think that Arkansas is going to win, and I still don't know who I'm going to pick. Like, I don't. There's nothing that's pointing to any signs or any end of the spectrum that says Arkansas is going to win this game or lose this game necessarily. You feel like this is a better team that they're going to be facing than it was in Colorado State. But, you know, how is this team going to battle adversity? How is this team going to come back? I mean, there's a lot of questions. And my thing is going into the game itself, though, is Chad Morris and this coaching staff going to have the same game plan that they had, same strategy, same everything that they had Colorado State? Because going into the game wasn't necessarily the problem. It wasn't how they started. It was how they finished. And I'm just curious to see if there's going to be any changes that Chad Morris and this staff makes to try to change that mentality to begin the game, even though they were successful, or at least had a good game plan in cell going up against Colorado State last week. I'm just curious to see how they do that, and if it's more of an in-game coaching thing that they need to adjust to rather than the preparation that they put into North Texas. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you back to the first part of your point is, we've reached a point where we're just not certain you can beat North Texas. I mean, that's just where we're at.
Woof.
And I go back to something we were talking about end of last week in Colorado State, and really we were coming at it from the standpoint of, Well, what if you lost? But we were really saying it's an 0-2 Colorado State team. It's probably not going to happen. But what if you lost? We were just kind of talking about just fancy me for a minute. What if you go out here to Fort Collins and you do lose? What does that mean? I said reality check. Well, what does it mean if you lose this week? I mean, I think we've already had a good enough dose of reality.
Yeah.
So now what? You know.
Well, that's the kind of the scary thing about it is
I know
is the scenario here? What are we looking at?
Because I got to tell you, Clay Henry's kind enough to ask me to put a pick in the Hogs Illustrated magazine each week, and we have to turn those in early Sunday morning so he can get them in the magazine. And I wrestled over it. I mean, I really did. And you shouldn't have to, right? I mean, you're playing North Texas, and that's the reality of where we're at right now.
It's just to be a nightmare scenario.
It's a real contemplation.
Yeah,
you know?
It's because here's the thing: if they win, if Arkansas beats North Texas, and again, it's all about how the game goes and how they win if they ended up doing that. But it at least kind of shows, all right, this team got punched in the mouth against Colorado State. They went up against a team that is better than Colorado State, and they played well enough to win in the way that you would hope that they would play. So I think that there would be, I wouldn't say that just rejuvenates the program, gets everyone excited again, but it definitely at least gives some of the fans a little bit to say, okay, back on the Chad Morris train, looked like he knows what he's doing because he was able to get this team rallied around and to be able to fire out on all cylinders, because a lot of coaches would probably lose some of the players, or at least some of the team, when having an ending like that, especially early on in the year.
I was thinking about this yesterday. Last week was a gut check week for Colorado State, right?
That's right.
Their backs were to the wall. They were 0-2. And if they didn't answer last week, their season was more or less over. The coach hadn't been feeling good health-wise. They had a lot of reasons to lay down after the way their season had started. And their season pretty much was on the line, knowing they had Arkansas and Florida, and they were staring 0-4 perhaps in the face. And they came out and it was a gut check week, and they felt like they could do something, and they did it. And really, it was a gut check second half, and they did it. In Arkansas, kind of in their seasons, I think somewhat on the line to a degree. I mean, this is a gut check week for Arkansas. How do you respond? We're going to find out a lot about these players and these coaches, and what's your response rate? What are you going to do as coaches? What are you going to do as players to respond to what happened last week? To something you ought to be embarrassed by?
Yeah.
Are you? I mean, the biggest concern would be that there doesn't seem to be any urgency or response that we should expect as fans, right? We should expect them to play at a whole different level with anger and frustration and taking some of that out this week. I mean, if you're North Texas, maybe it's the worst news you got is that Arkansas lost to Colorado State. You know, that Arkansas is not going to be comfortable. So, man, I think it's a gut check week for Arkansas and how they respond.
Well, and it'll also show exactly where the mentality of the team is at, because Chad Morris has, we already knew he had a tall order, a tall task in front of him dealing with this season and the program he's taking over. But to try to get this team back on track and back remotivated essentially for the coming games, again, especially in North Texas because of the way they lost last week, is a lot easier said than done. So I'm curious to see, this is going to show this team's mettle this week. It's going to show where their mindset's at, because if they come out flat and terrible against North Texas, I mean I don't know where else you'll be able to go from there if you're Chad Morris. I mean, you might have to just, I won't say mail in the season, he'll never do that, and I don't think anyone should say he should do that, but I mean, if you can't get them motivated and they can't get on board for playing North Texas, you may have to start saying, all right, you senior, you junior, sit on the bench.
Yep.
I'm done with you. I'm bringing in some freshmen who actually want to come out here and they want to play and they want to win games. I want to get some hungry guys out here, and I'm done with you guys. I mean, he won't say it that way, hopefully, but you get what I'm saying, though. You may just have to start pointing to some of the younger guys and say, you know what? The guys that are here, they obviously don't want to do it. They obviously don't want to come to play, so we're going to give you guys a shot, give you some experience. I think that that's a realistic thing for Chad Morrison. What may happen if it goes sour, especially this weekend against North Texas.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a reality. And I just think this is a big week for a big response out of the University of Arkansas. And if you don't come out big, I mean, I think there's a part of me that believes this team will respond in a big way. And while we're all thinking this could be and probably should be a close game, maybe Arkansas comes out with a different level of play and they find something within themselves and maybe they win this game more comfortably than we think they should, just because of what happened last week.
I know that's what Razorback fans are hoping for that response. But time will tell. And again, it'll show a lot about this team's mettle and where they're at mentally if they are able to come out and be victorious against North Texas, or do we see the same problems, same issues, and the same lack of effort in the fourth quarter that we saw against Colorado State? Either way, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Tommy, you ready for this?
Yeah, let's
All
do
right.
it.
Let's do it. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Well, I'll make it short and sweet.
Yeah. Getting ready for both.
The state of our program, where we're at today, we didn't get there overnight. It's really stunned, sir. How did Vanderbilt, I'm calling them a question today, sir. How did Vanderbilt surpass us in the SEC? How did Ole Miss and Mississippi State, which don't have here in Missouri, have near the facilities? I've been to all these universities that's a game, sir. How did they surpass us in the SEC? I mean, we have great facilities. I want this coaching staff, I want these players, you know, because of the facilities we have up on the hill today, which are second enough. We just spent $200 million on expansion of the stadium, which we'll never see. Unless cut check time takes place, it's taking place this week. I would ask you guys' opinion this morning. As I call in, I watched the game three times. It doesn't get any easier. The tears go down my face. We have great players come through our program, and this is a slap in their face. We need to get some pride up on that hill, even with the administration, and with the athletic director. What about bringing in somebody like Houston Nutt, who, by the way, you can say is somebody in a program that takes it with it. And here, I can see, I know this is Coach Forrest's first year. I know, but we're expected to be a one power five conference team. And we got a team we're going to play $1 million Saturday to come into our stadium and flip our rear end if we don't get our act together. How about this? Start number one. Coach Kelly and Ty Story cannot get the job done. Why not set things up? Let's put a mountain hide up. Let's try to know it up. Let's step the go and see if we can take something up and get out with a win Saturday. Because if you lose this game, it would be the lowest. And even the, I go back over the years, Citadel lost. And so, I mean, the lowest our program has sunk. But what conference can we go to in a Power Five and compete? And none of them. I doubt if we could compete. We just lost to a team that's 0-2 and the Mountain West just kicked our rear end. And so what do you think Texas is going to do? It's like a bad sunburn, sir, that this fan base, that they just keep getting sunburned with no soothing gel or lotion. And so I would ask, if I were Coach Morris and you're coming into, I'd welcome some advice what to do. I know this is only your third, will be your third game, but there were some coaching blunders in this game. You better grow up quick or you're going to be out of a job yourself in about 3 years. You're talking about a recruiting class that hasn't even got on campus yet. Where did we go 2-10 and 1-11? Where are these kids going to go? So, if we get up, we got to do something to shake up the tree. You know what I mean? We're not getting kind of nulled up. We're not getting Dalton Hyde up. What do you got to lose? You're losing anyway. As far as the defense goes, bring them up on the line. If you get beat, you get beat. But you better bring the heat. I'm going to get our rear end kick. And this will be the lowest our program's ever sung. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, now he's ready for to call into both. It's just a warm-up. Getting his script worked out.
Yeah, working off the cobwebs in the mornings. And
working a few adjectives out and get a few things.
Yeah, this is like the it's his dress rehearsal, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, it's a warm-up for Bo later.
Yeah. Well, he needs to change it from good morning to from good afternoon to good morning. That would be helpful. We should try, Eddie.
Sell it a little bit.
Yeah,
sell
just like help us out, man.
Sell the originality a little bit.
Goodness. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Stretch is in Fort Smith. Save us, Stretch. What's going on?
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I can't believe my ears with the way that this fan base is acting. I mean, this is granted. Yeah, they messed up. They lost to Colorado. It was by one score. The world ain't coming to an end. If you're a fan of the Arkansas Razorbacks, you're a fan. Win or lose. Yeah, we want to win. But whenever something goes south like it did, that doesn't mean you throw your hands up and want to crucify everybody on the Razorback football team. I mean, you should. I mean, one thing that I liked a lot about Chad Moore is what he did at the post-conference after the game. Well, you said it was on the coaches. Because those players, they ain't getting out there and messing up intentionally. They're doing exactly what the coaches tell them to run. They tell them what plays to run. Let Coach Morris get his bearings better. I mean, he's new to the SEC. Nobody's given this guy a chance yet. For crying out loud, this is game two. So everybody take your panties off and put your jock straps on and quit acting like a bunch of crybabies just because you lost one game, for crying out loud. Be a fan or don't be a fan at all, you bunch of jippies.
Amen, Stretch. Amen. I like the other side of it and appreciate your phone call. You know, that's it's so weird because, and Tommy, I think you'll agree, that we get why the fan base is down. Like, we totally get it. Because this is a time and period where, because if you look back to when you felt like a coach wasn't getting the job done and you made a change, there was immediate positivity in most cases. Like, for instance, when Houston Nutt left and you had Bobby Petrino, the excitement of Bobby Petrino was part of it, but it was also you were coming off of a 10-win season and an 8-win season. So there was still some, and Darren McFadden, so there were still some good feelings and some good vibes coming off of that era. It's a slow start for Petrino, got it going. Then when Brett Bielema came in, there was excitement there because, you know, you just hired Brett Bielema. He's a big name coach, had a lot of success at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And you were just coming off, I know John L. Smith was a disaster, but you still felt like you were a program that went 21-5 in two seasons. So you had that going for you, so you still felt like you were a very good program. This is the only time, and again, I'll even bring up Houston Nutt. You were down in back-to-back losing seasons under Danny Ford, but Houston Nutt comes in and immediately you get it going. So this is really the only time here in recent history, in recent memory, where Arkansas football had bad seasons and the new coach comes in and it looks inevitable that's going to be another bad season. And so it's unknown territory for Razorback fans right now. So I get it. I know it sucks for you to not feel good about the direction of the program and all that, but I kind of agree with Stretch, man. Give the man some time. Be patient with him. It's not going to be a great year, and I don't think anybody expected it to be a great year, but just let's see how this plays out first before we start getting the pitchforks and everything and start talking about buyouts, because there are some Razorback fans that are doing that.
There's no need to pay attention to those guys.
No, there's no reason
or
for it.
Or whoever's doing it.
Yeah, I mean, because it's usually people on message boards behind an avatar that, you know, it's not even them. So that's my whole point. Am I crazy for saying that, Tommy? I mean, am I overstepping my bounds here?
Well, I mean, to me, you're getting yourself all worked up over nothing. The first of all, and I mean, the buyout term, it's just ridiculous to even bring the words buyout
up.
Yeah,
that's an extreme. That's an extreme
next
level.
Year three, this guy's getting 4 to 5 years before that should even be a conversation. So, if that's where you're at, forget it. I mean, Now, Bo had some interesting research, and I apologize for not citing where he got it from. I just heard him say this yesterday as I was driving. And I thought it was very interesting what he said yesterday. since Arkansas joined the league, there's been 18 new coaches come into the league and lose to a non-Power 5 team the way Chad Morris lost to Colorado State on Saturday. Of those 18, only two have went on to be successful coaches in this league. One was Nick Saban, one was Dan Mullen. Now, we'll see, you know, how this plays out, but, you know, obviously losing to Power 5 schools in your first year like this is not a good sign for long-term success, but it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't overcome it. So I thought that was an interesting note that someone researched out.
Yeah. So, well, hopefully, if you're a Razorback fan, you're hoping that's not the case with Chad Morris. You're hoping that he's more the exception than the actual rule. Maybe he can be the Nick Saban, Dan Mullen in that certain situation. But I get it again. Right now, it's not going well.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Tommy, I'm going to kick us off. I normally throw it over to you because seniority and age before beauty or, you know, all the other cliches that we can throw into it.
Or age and beauty before you.
Yeah. Whichever one you want to go with, one of the two. But, this is something that happened to me last night, and I don't want to sit here and bash any of the fine public properties here of the great state of Arkansas or the great county or the great city here in Fort Smith. However, it was feeling so good last night with the weather. And I don't know if you were out there, Tom. I'm sure you were. But the weather was amazing. I mean, it's starting to get a little chillier. It's not where it's too cold, not too hot. Feels good, slight breeze. Everything's so perfect. So I wanted to take advantage of that because there's not many days we're going to get like that or not many nights we're going to get like that. And so once I got done with dinner and everything, I said, all right, well, I'm going to take my dog to the park. Because I just, you know, hey, it's something you do and something I can do and something that's easy. And I can just hang out. And I know Rowdy, my dog, would love it. And so I took him to Ben Garin Park over here in Fort Smith. It's pretty close by to where I live. And there was also a girl I knew that was playing softball over there, too. I was going to say hey to her. So just kind of killed two birds with one stone. Anyways, I'm out there and I'm walking. And I take Rowdy out of the truck. And he's on his leash. He's on his harness. Walking him around. He's sniffing around, all that stuff. Well, then as I'm walking kind of through the middle of the park, I have a guy come up on his little side-by-side. He drives up, and he says, you know, makes some remark about my dog, and then he goes, is that one of those, I forgot the phrasing he used, but basically one of those dogs that are there for, like, help or support dogs, essentially.
Yeah.
And he asked me, is that one of them support dogs? And I looked at Rowdy. I was like, no, he's just there for, he's like, well, I got to tell you, hate to be the bad guy here, but, you know, dogs aren't allowed on the property here. And I was like,
in a park?
And I was like, that's exactly what was my reaction. I was like, but it's a park. Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't make the rules. It's one of the things that they just put into place. And, you know, I'm sorry, but you got to take your dog outside the fence line. And I was honestly thought he was kidding because I'm like, it's a public park and people just walking around. And I was like, okay. And not only that, but instead of, you know, just telling me to leave and then driving off, no, he like sat there and kind of in his side by side in front of me and wanted to make sure that I turned the other direction back to my truck to get out of the fence line. And I was so shocked because I'm like, I take my dog to a park, a public park, and dogs aren't allowed in the fence line at a park. And he was on a leash. There wasn't any issue with that, but I just didn't know what to say, and I didn't even know that was a thing where dogs aren't allowed at parks. I thought it was just a commonality that people walk their dogs at parks. So now I know. I can't take my dog Rowdy to Ben Garin Park here in Fort Smith. And nothing against the park. I have nothing against the guy that came up. He's just doing his job. But I have never heard of anything like that. I will say, though, Tommy, Rowdy got the last laugh because as he was walking out of the park, he bent over a fresh biscuit right there in the fence line before he did it. So,
Why dogs aren't allowed. I don't know. I'm not a dog owner. So
Maybe that was the case. But I just thought that was so strange. And I didn't know.
I mean, I thought dogs were allowed at all the parks. You know,
I did, too. I did, too. I just was. And listen, I was like, I get it if it's from the bathroom perspective and you got to clean up your dogs. Like, I would even get that, but that wasn't even said. There was nothing stated to that point. It was just literally, sorry, no dogs allowed. And I just couldn't believe that. I thought that that was one of the strangest things I've ever seen. So now I know I'll have to start checking rules on parks before I take my dog there. And I know you're not a dog guy, but it just seemed like you're a Fort Smith guy, though, and you didn't even know that that was a rule. So if you don't know what it's a rule, then, man, I don't know what to say.
I just Googled it on the county's website, and all it says is dogs have to be on a leash.
He was on a leash, and it wasn't like he was a pit bull. He's a Sheba. He looks like a fox. Well, he just sits there. He's scared of everything.
So you know what to do next time, right? When the guy comes up and...
That's right.
Because we live in a world where, I mean, you can gender identify what bathroom you want to go into, right?
That's right.
You can just claim any kind of, any kind of emotional distress now of any kind, and people just got to believe you.
That's right.
So now this dog of yours is some kind of emotional support dog. So when the guy in the side-by-side comes up and, wants to give you a hard time about it, no, this dog's here for my... emotional well-being.
Yeah. I need to start doing that because apparently, and here's the thing, it's funny you bring that up, Tommy, because not only could I have walked my dog, I come to find out that the apartment complex I live in, I had to pay a $500 fee for my dog Rowdy to live with me in my apartment. $500. That costs more than him. And so I was like, okay, I get it. I got to have my dog and I really like this place. And then a few months later, I come to find out they're like, well, you should have just said he was an emotional support dog, because if you did, then we can't charge you. Well, thank you for letting me know in advance. So that way I would have to pay. Anytime anyone asks me about Rowdy, I'm going to always say he's an emotional support dog.
That way
I can get away with whatever I want to get away with.
Do whatever you want.
I don't get charged. I probably don't even have to worry about putting him on a leash. I can just go and do as I please. Because apparently if you're an emotional support dog, the bets are off.
Well,
you can do whatever you want.
And they'll say, well, what's your emotional disorder? And then all you need to do is pull the box score out from the Colorado State
game. Just start just saying, I'm a Razorback fan, man.
Let me hand you the fourth quarter box score.
There's my proof.
Yeah.
I don't need any badges or anything. Nope, my proof. Just pull that out. That's why I need the emotional support dog.
Yeah.
So
see this Arkansas Razorback shirt? There's my emotional disorder right there.
That's right.
Why I need this dog with me in the park.
That's right. So
no, I've never heard of that you couldn't bring a dog to Ben Guerin Park.
No, but now I know. Now me and Rowdy will just stick to our regular sidewalk and, anything. But I just thought it was funny, though, that he just decided to have that point in time to – be able to use the bathroom there. So, like I said, he got the last laugh in the whole thing. So, that's what I'm beefing with today. So, Tommy, what are you beefing with?
Oh, two little minor things. Let me give you the non-sports one first. Y'all are going to give me old man hard time here.
But of course.
You get used to things like, your banking apps and different apps, and then they update them. Well, apparently, the bank out where I bank is not only updating, they're like totally revamping the whole app to the point, and I haven't updated because I like the app the way it works. It works just fine. Well, now they're like calling me daily. Mr. Kraft, you're like the last one on the old app. We're getting ready to shut this thing down. You must, and they're sending me emails like daily, you must move to the new app. And so I've been forced. I've been pushed two hands in the back into this new app, and I hate it. So now I'm trying to do my online banking, which took me forever, to move from the old school, let's write a check, to do online banking. And now we update the dadgum app, and now we can't even get this to function and work properly. And I don't know, just old man stuff here where, just leave, if you're going to make me use technology, quit changing the technology so fast that I can't keep up. So there's one thing that's just beefing me this morning. And then the second thing, and this is more sports related, why is it that everybody has to go after a loss like last week, that everything goes to the extremes? And what I mean by that, and we've been talking about that this morning, why is it automatically knee-jerk, let's look up the buyout, let's look up the buyout terms of the coach, or if you don't, if you don't go there, then you're either you're in the bag and your rose-colored glasses, or you're a hater. There's no in between anymore.
Nope.
I just hate that about where it's at. Am I disappointed they lost? Yes. But, you know, is it time to change coaches? Absolutely not. You're crazy if you go there. That's just a, you know, should I be happy that they lost? No. But, I mean, I just hate that everything has got to be so extreme anymore. I mean, it's like if you're not extreme and you don't have an extreme opinion, you're not a real fan. You know?
No.
What? I mean, it's just...
Because it has to be one side or the other.
Right.
It has to be. There's no in between.
I guess it's the political world leaking over into the sports world. I don't know, but I just, you know, some of this, unfortunately, we've avoided some of that element with some sensibility here in the mornings, but I hear so much of it when some of these Twitter mentions we get and some of the emails we're getting, and it's just so extreme on
right
after one game, and I just don't get the you know, where some of these people are coming from already. You know, this program is suffering from what it's going through due to the lack of stability it's had over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Really since Houston Nutt, and more instability is not going to fix the situation. Why is it you got to be so extreme with everything? You know, like this school is going to pay another $14 million buyout at this point. Come on, get a hold of yourselves out there.
Makes it entertaining for me because then it starts to make me realize, man, maybe I'm not so emotional after a loss after all.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the sane one in this whole group, but okay. It does get very extreme. It does get very extreme.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.